Episode number 235, Leading Effective Volunteer Huddles with Wayne Boland. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Well, hey guys, welcome to Making Sunday Happen, the definitive podcast for those who plan, create, and execute worship experiences. This week, I'll be talking with Wayne Boland, who is the co-founder of the Volunteer Memo. Wayne has a passion for volunteers, and we'll talk through how to structure and execute great volunteer huddles before your worship experience. If you do pre-service huddles, this episode will really dive into how to structure those and what to include in your pre-service huddle. But first, this week's episode of the show is sponsored by our friends at Church Banners. They are your source for church banners, praise banners, and portable displays. From inside your sanctuary to outside in the church parking lot, they have a huge selection of church banner designs for you to personalize free of charge. So these are great friends of mine. They have done all of our banners for our conference displays and stuff like that. I want you to check them out, churchbanners.com. That's churchbanners.com. So you are seeing me in a studio today, but all this week I am actually running around crazy at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. I've served with the headquarters team at NRB. This would be my 16th year at NRB. I've been doing it since I was since 2004. So I was 10 years old when I started, if you're doing the math. Pretty wild. NRB is the largest convention for church communicators in the world. I have lots of great friends there, great people, and I've gotten to know a lot of people there over the years. And so if you are in Nashville this week and you're catching the podcast, Steve Dirks from our team is in the exhibition hall at booth 550. That's 550. I'll be kind of in and out of the booth. I'll be running around crazy. But be sure to stop by, say hello to Steve. Catch me if you can. And I'd love to see you at NRB if you are around. If you're in Nashville, please email me, carl@1230.media. I would love to try to catch your email and meet up in Nashville if you are in the area. We'll be shooting several interviews while we are at the convention this week. So the next couple of weeks on the show, we'll be sharing those with you. We have some fantastic people lined up as guests that we are doing interviews with at NRB. So I cannot wait to share with you some of the people that we'll be talking to. So that will be dropping over the next couple of weeks for you. All right, so we're going to jump right into my interview with Wayne Boland all about volunteer huddles right after this quick word about church banners. Check this out. Hey guys, Carl here. I want to tell you about my good friends over at Church Banners. They really do make Sunday mornings easy. If you're looking for banners and displays for your church, Church Banners has you covered. With simple setups, every banner is easy to use and can be assembled in a snap. From outdoor to indoor displays, kids check-in, and more, you'll welcome guests to church and easily direct them to where they need to go. They have a huge selection of designs for you to personalize free of charge. Let their banners direct, connect, and inspire your guests. Check them out today at churchbanners.com. That's churchbanners.com. Hey guys, today I welcome to the show Wayne Boland. Wayne is the co-founder of the Volunteer Memo. Wayne, what's up, man? Thanks for hanging out.
Hey, Carl. Glad to be here. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent, man. So we grabbed coffee maybe, I don't know, a couple months ago. Yes. We got to hang out with you and our friend Chuck, and Man, just it's been a pleasure getting to know you and the projects that you guys are working on.
All right, thanks. Same here.
Awesome, man. So I mentioned Chuck, our friend Chuck Scoggins. So both of you guys have started a new project called the Volunteer Memo. So why don't you tell me how that got started and kind of what the vision is behind that?
Yeah, so the Volunteer Memo started with Chuck and I working together. We used to be on staff together at a church, New River Church. And we just both had this strong passion for volunteers and, you know, had some success leading volunteers and just wanted to share that and help other folks who may be struggling with leading volunteers. So
you gave me the church that you were at. Give me a sense of your ministry background. What kind of churches have you served and where's the Lord had you over the last few years?
Yeah, so I grew up in like a traditional Baptist church, you know, and then I went off. I joined the military, so I know you didn't ask for this part, but yeah. It's very much a volunteer thing. So I was in the Air National Guard, and I met the chaplain over there, and he said, "I hear that you play guitar and sing, and we're starting a worship service, and you should come help us with that." So I did that, and then ended up at New River Church on a volunteer basis, and I was a worship leader there. And they, as they grew, they decided that they would like to hire me full time, and I was worship leader there for several years, and ended up becoming a production director there.
What all did you do as production director?
Yeah, so I scheduled volunteers, trained volunteers, handled the production. We did video shoots, set designs, all those sorts of things. Yeah.
All right, so today I really want to talk about this idea of volunteer huddles. You've seen a lot of success with this. So tell me how you think that the volunteer huddle is underutilized, or it's an important piece that we can use to kind of build our culture with volunteers, right? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so volunteer huddles are amazing. You know, on a Sunday morning, it's super busy and everybody's just kind of running around all over the place. And a huddle is just a good chance to get together, meet up with your team. And so the things I like to use a huddle for are to like cast vision and then inform people on the specifics of what's happening today. And then I like to do a devotional and then take prayer requests and pray.
Yeah. Awesome. And I want to drill into each of those as we kind of work through the content together. So let's define our term. So define for me what a volunteer huddle is.
Yeah, so a volunteer huddle is basically just a time where all of your volunteers that are serving with you and part of your team just kind of huddle up. You know, you've all seen football and how the team huddles up before the game or before the play, and they kind of get their marching orders for that play. And so it's kind of the same idea that you use. You know, we're getting ready to go serve the church, and so let's all kind of get together and huddle up and talk about what it is we're getting ready to go and do.
Give me a sense of how long they should be.
I like to keep them short. I mean, this is not the halftime show. This is the thing before the play, right? And so I like to try to keep my volunteer huddle to 5 to 10 minutes. That's excluding the prayer request and prayer, because that, you know, it kind of becomes its own thing. So
right.
5 to 10 minutes, and then we pray, prayer request. Yeah.
So me and you both are passionate about establishing culture, about how it's not just, you know, I know how to push the button, right? It's all about the culture. So get me into that. How do huddles especially work to establish the culture that we want to see?
Yeah, so I think that huddles, they're just a great time because everybody is there. We're all looking around at each other. And it's just a way to affirm things that are good that are happening. It's a way, and everybody's culture is different. So it's just a time for you to sort of cast vision and talk about your culture. And hey, you know what I saw today? I'm so glad that you guys are here. You know, those types of moments. And as we are serving today, let's keep in our hearts and in our minds, you know, and then that's a moment for you to speak into the culture of how we do business.
So we mentioned establishing culture. What when you define that, what do you define that as? And how can we as leaders lead the charge in creating the culture that we want to see?
Yeah. So like I was really adamant on having a culture of thanks and a culture of gratitude, and like a team culture. We're all here together. We're one team serving one God, you know. And it was a production team that I was in charge of, and was, you know, many of the band members were the same from when I was leading worship. And so one thing, when people were from the outside coming in to kind of visit our team, what they would say is, man, it's not usual to see a team get along this well, from the stage getting along so well with the production team, and you just have a great culture going on here. How did you do that? And so it comes from gratitude. You know, I'm so glad that you guys are here. We're all one big team. And so it's just, the huddle is a big part of that, because we're sitting around in the circle together and we're just glad to be together. We're usually eating a biscuit together. And I love that, you know, taking the time to eat bread and just investing in each other's lives. And so, you know, one thing that seems to be like on a production team, like if the worship leader likes to repeat choruses and repeat bridges, you know, that can be a moment of tension, you know, between a worship team and a production team. And so, you know, when you are able to speak into the culture, hey, here's why we do this, and here's how we can do this better. And it's just, here's the challenges that we face, here's how we can overcome them better. And so it's just a lot of that going on in the huddle.
So, when you were leading volunteers, what were some of the most passionate things that would get you jazzed up? Like, obviously it wasn't, you know, the button push, although that's important and we want excellence. Give me, right, a sense of, you know, the heart and the pastoring.
Yeah. So one of the things that I loved is, you know, when I was up on stage leading worship, or when I was the production guy, when I'm looking at the person who's doing the lyrics, you know, and they're pressing the button, they're advancing the lyrics, but then they've got one hand raised and they're just singing, you know, I'm like, ah, this is happening. This is beautiful. And, you know, even if it's falling flat all throughout the room as a worship leader, and I see that the production team is worshiping along with us, you know, God is moving. And then when we're on the production team and I see that the volunteers, they're hanging out after they serve. It's not, all right, we're done with this, it's time to go get some food. So they're hanging out, they're talking to each other, they're congratulating each other, and they're, you know, kind of training each other and giving each other encouragement. So very passionate about that. That's a big win for us.
So you walk through kind of things that you do in a huddle. So I want to kind of structure that a little bit. And the first thing that you do is cast vision. So tell me some ways that you would cast vision to your team in a huddle.
Right. And so casting vision, whether it's vision for the day or vision for the long term, you know, hey guys, thanks for being here. You know, as I was thinking about this weekend, the Lord just reminded me that, you know, we are here to serve Him. It's not about us. So let's just keep that in our thoughts and in our prayers. And so that's, you know, just a quick, it's really just a quick one-liner, whatever the vision might be. So let's say we're at a stage where the production team is wanting to go to the, start to trigger some things off the click track. Hey, production team, you know, this is the first, you know, next week, maybe we're going to think about cueing a song with the click track. And it's going to look like this. And so we're going to start playing, the band's going to start playing along with videos, and we're going to start timing some things up that way. And I know it may feel like you're being replaced by the box, but that's not really what's happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a way to cast vision, a time to talk to the team about things that are coming up.
Did you have a vision statement or a mission statement for your team?
Yes, very much so. And we had that written out on a little marker board. And every week we would hit one of the like four pieces of the vision. So one of those was to have fun, you know. So we want you guys to serve with excellence, and as we serve today. And most of all, we want it to be fun, you know.
So how do huddles make people feel, obviously, you know, you're there together. So how do huddles make people feel more a part of the team, like they're connected?
Right. Yeah. So a lot of times in a production team, there's lots of pieces and everybody is separated out. And if you don't huddle up together, you know, the camera guy, he comes in just before the service starts, while the sound guy has been there first, and they may never have had a chance to talk and connect with each other. And then there's another guy off in a room somewhere else, and he's running the backgrounds, and then they're talking to another person, and he's doing something else. And then there's a stage director, and he's just wearing some headphones, and he's only hearing from this one person. So it's a large room to cover in a church, and it's a good to get the team together and allow them to talk face to face and just, you know, start investing in each other's lives.
Yeah. How about spiritually? What does a huddle give a chance to speak into them spiritually, focus them spiritually?
Right. A lot of times when you are leading a production team or a worship team, or even like a children's ministry team or a youth team, the huddle would like to do the devotional. I mean, it all started out, I didn't used to do them when I first started. I was like, you know, we should probably get together and pray before the service starts. And it kind of built from there. Well, if we're going to get together and pray, I should take prayer requests. Well, if we're going to have prayer requests and prayer, perhaps I should do a devotion and just start thinking. And the more we did it, the more I saw the value in that. And so it just became part of the huddle that we built in. And so it became a time to move the team from, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this. And it's all very mechanical. All the pieces were structured and in a row. And we may do this here, we may do this here, and then we're going to have. And so it went from, you know, just checking down things on a list to, hey, here's why. Here's the why. So it was a great time, the devotional, to move the people from, here's how we're going to do things, and here's the way we're going to do things, and it needs to be done in this order, and the very mechanical side of it, over to the spiritual side. And we're doing this because, and it's going to affect people because, you know, the Lord is going to come into our midst. And, you know, we do this a lot. We serve a lot, and you're on our team a lot. And so it tends to become mundane. You know, you're sitting at the same computer, you're pressing the same button to advance the lyrics. But the person who is in the audience, this is what's going on in their lives. And we don't want to distract them from the chance to worship. And so when we don't distract people, they get a chance to, you know, connect, interact with God. And so when you start speaking those things into your volunteers' lives and into the service as it's going to happen, I believe that, you know, you get a great chance to say, here's why we're doing, here's the vision for what we're doing. We're not just pushing buttons. We're not just advancing slides. We're allowing people to connect with God in a way that he can then change their lives and give them hope.
Exactly. So you mentioned how you structure it. I'd like to walk through that again. Sure. So kind of walk me through, you have five, you know, things that you hit in your 5 or 10 minute huddle. Walk me through those again.
Yeah, so one of the first things I like to do is cast vision for the day and cast vision for the team. And then I like to go into a devotion, a time of devotion. So we refocus from the rehearsal or the practice that we've just done, the mechanical and the how, over to the spiritual. Now we've gone from, let's get this thing going, over to here's how we do it. And it's just a time for us to invite God into the, you know, the things that are going on that day. And then we'll take prayer requests, and that's a great pastoral moment for the team. And then we'll take some time and we will pray. And so we just ask God to bless the people who are serving and ask him to bless the people who are coming, ask him to bless our community. And then, you know, ask him to take care of people who are in need.
Awesome. Okay, so let me hit those. So cast vision, and then, I had inform specifics for the day. So talk to me about that one for a second. So you kind of, so I would do this. I would go over our run sheet. right. You know, if I'm at production and say, okay, this is going to, this is going to element, it's going to go into this one. And it also would give an opportunity for the camera guy to talk with the switcher director or the worship leader to say, oh, I'm going to do a guitar solo there or something like that. So it, and I would kind of lead that discussion, and you feel free to speak into this, but I would lead that discussion in a way that was, you know, encouraging people to jump in based on their position. So does anybody have any questions there about the transition from this to this? Anybody? Okay. So do you know what you're going to do? You know, he's going to walk off and then you're going to do this and then that's going to happen. Everybody good with that? Okay, cool. All right. And then, so walk me through that. How did maybe some elements that could have gone wrong in the worship experience, you're preventing that from happening by walking through those specifics. Walk me through that a little bit.
Yeah, so when we talk about specifics for the day, you know, let's say you're on the parking lot team and it snowed outside. So you may say something like, so remember to go ahead and get your vest and your radio and, you know, we've got an icy spot over here, so let's not park anybody on this side of the street. And as we're walking in today, you know, we have this thing that we're going to pass out. So make sure that on the way in, everybody gets a 3x5 card. And if they need a pen, they can have a pen. And on the way back out, we're passing out mints, you know. And so it's just a way to make sure that everybody's on the same page for what is happening for the day.
Good. Okay. So I'm going to walk through the
production side.
Yeah. Yeah. You can walk through that too, if you want to.
Yeah. And then, so on the production team side, if I, as the production guy, we, sometimes we have songs that they have like a fake ending. Does that make sense? So, hey guys, remember that this song, it kind of ends and then it builds back up and it comes back. You're going to think that it's ending, but be sure that you check with stage director before you send them out. Be sure that you check with the production director that it's actually the end of the song. And if the worship leader, like if you think that you're going to continue here, try to give us a head up through the mic. You know, hey, let's continue to sing this chorus one more time through. And so that kind of, it happened a few times, you know, where the pastor walks out to close and that's a very awkward, they're still, where do I stand? Am I supposed to dance? So what's going on? I'm not really comfortable raising my hand in front of all of you. So you're trying to avoid those types of moments. And also, like if we, sometimes we had sermon bumpers and they would cut to black and then they would come back to life, you know, so that's not the, when the bumper cuts to black or the video cuts to black, let it roll for a few more seconds. So you just kind of talk through the tricky moments, the tricky transitions. This is a tricky element. It's not typical. Typically when it goes to black, we bring the lights up, but this one, it goes to black and it's just silent for a few minutes. So sound guy, leave the volume up, all that kind of thing.
Right. Good. Yeah. Good. Okay. So I'm going to walk through those five again, so everybody kind of knows your structure here. So cast vision, inform specifics for the day, walk through the things that we just talked about. 3, devotional. 4, prayer requests. 5, pray.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So let me ask you this. What is the best time for a huddle? We talked about the length, but give me the best time that you place these.
Right. And so what I like to do is I like to have the huddle after we have had like our little practice and our run through, but before we walk out on stage or out onto the platform. So you want to give people time to decompress a little bit from practice, and you don't want to run them right up to time to walk on stage. You want to give them a chance to maybe check the mirror, go to the restroom if they need to, grab a little drink of water, cup of coffee, whatever. So, you know, you're looking for 15 minutes probably in between rehearsal, run through, and the actual service.
Right. You bring up a good point. And I think that a lot of the times, although we want to be sensitive to the time that our volunteers spend at the church in the morning, I think it's important to build our structure on a Sunday morning in a way that allots for the huddle time and any things that we need to tweak before service starts or in between services. Here's what I mean is we don't want to have right. run through from 9 to 9:50. You do a huddle from 9:50 and then I got to be on stage at 10 or exactly. something similar. Like build in. So how much time would you build in between run through over and service starts?
So run through for a production team and a band can be kind of tricky, right? Because if something doesn't go right, you got to fix it before the service starts. So I like to see comfortable is 30 minutes, but comfortable and able to fix mistakes is probably, 45 minutes. And I mean, that seems like a lot of time, but it's free time. It's open time. It's community time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that matters. I would say too, and maybe this is off the beaten path, but we can do another podcast on run throughs because I can hit several things here, but I kind of feel like we need the run through to be nonstop. So unless a catastrophe happens,
right?
Don't stop run through. Just do a countdown like normal. Go from zero all the way to the end. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the only thing that I would not do in a run through is the full sermon.
Sure, okay? Sure.
But other than that, every song all the way through, every video all the way through, every audio cue all the way through. I mean, everything top to bottom. And I even would, even though we're not doing the sermon all the way through, I would have either me or if I could get the pastor to get him up there, test his mic, say, okay, I'm going to hit this and this and this. We're going to run through my slides. Okay.
Yes.
So we run through all the slides. All right. Yes. And then I'm going to conclude with this. This is how I'm going to land the plane. All right. Then I'm going to pray here. Okay, and this is how this is going to go, and then pastor's off. So I would get the pastor for the run-through if I could.
Every chance you get, every chance you get. Especially, if it's not the main pastor,
Right.
Especially if you have a guest or if it's the youth pastor for this week or somebody like that. So
yeah, and pastors, if you're listening, this is invaluable to your production team because it provides them with chances to test the mic, to go through your slides, to make sure that everything is in order. Because what I've seen happen a lot of times, and that this could be a broken record for me, is the pastor's not at run through. And then something happens in the actual worship experience that you could have prevented if pastor was in run through and you walked through everything. But pastor's in the middle of worship experience and something goes wrong. No, that's the wrong slide. No, I needed that. And it makes the production team look bad. And it also, it just makes the whole team look unprepared. And so that's just one example. But if pastor, if you can be in that run through, even for a few minutes to walk through your thing, to come up when you need to be, I mean, that's very valuable to the to your team. You want to speak to that at all?
No doubt. I love that. And that's one thing that once, we were able to prevent a lot of mistakes by having the pastor on stage to go through his slides. Hey, is this slide right? Ooh, that slide looks funny because perhaps you use a weird resolution screen that's not normal. Ooh, can we display it like this instead of like in the center? Can we put it on two sides? Or I don't like it on the two sides. Can you put it all in the center? Just making sure that what the pastor has in his head is actually what's going up on the screen.
Right. Okay, so best time for a huddle is 45 minutes, roughly, before first service starts.
That's what I would say. I love that.
Yeah. And your huddle's going to go 5, 10 minutes, maybe 15 with prayer?
Then we pray, yes.
Okay, so that gives us 30 minutes to implement anything that we've got from the huddle. So if in that huddle it comes out, hey, we need to fix that lyric. Hey, we need to do that. That's going to come out in the huddle as well. So we have 30 minutes now to go and fix those things and prep for service. So I want people to realize that.
That's right. Go ahead. Sorry, my connection is catching back up with you.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's great. So we can go and we can catch things and we can correct things after the huddle. And you know that they're opening the doors 10 minutes before the service. So that right. really gives you maybe
20 minutes,
20, 15 minutes by the time you get there. So,
right. Yeah. So that building that time in between huddle and first service really, really does matter. Because mm-hmm. it's kind of unfair for you to walk through corrections or walk through details and not give them enough time to implement it. So one thing I would do is I would do the huddle before run through. In fact, mm-hmm. so I think you can do it either way, because if you're going to walk through your run sheet, you're going to want to know some of those things before run through. So right. I would kind of do two huddles. I would do one that's what you're talking about. That's more of a cast vision, walk through the day, mm-hmm. Devo, those types of things. And then we do run through, and then we do like a 5-minute quick huddle. That is, okay, is there anything mm-hmm. that we need to tweak? So I think there's a couple of different ways that you can do it, whatever works for your church and your context, but doing a huddle is what's important. Okay. So how do we get people there? How do we get people to attend the huddle?
Yeah. So one of my tricks was to bring food. You know, I'm not going to lie.
Bribe them.
Exactly. I love a good chicken biscuit. And so I would go and get biscuits before practice began. And then we do our run through. And sometimes the biscuits were cold, depending on how things went that day. But everybody kind of understands, you know, and so you're eating the biscuit together, and then you just kind of, you know, launch into the huddle. So I bribe them. It becomes part of our culture. It's our show time, our call time has it built in, you know, so it's a big deal. The huddle is in our culture.
So I think we're going to take a survey that Chick-fil-A actually needs to close on Saturday instead of Sunday so that we can get our chicken biscuits for our huddles on Sunday. Are you with me?
I'm in. I'm all in. You know,
okay. All right.
Bojangles is good here in the South.
Yep.
Love them as well. But yeah.
Yep. Can't beat the Chick-fil-A.
Can't beat the Chick-fil-A.
Okay. So what do you do? Last couple questions for you. What do you do when people resist, or I don't need to be there. I'll get there when we do run through, or I'll get there right, you know, 10 minutes before service. I don't need to be at the huddle. What do you
right.
say?
And I faced some of that early on, you know, when, hey, let's get together and pray. And most people are very, very welcoming to that. They want to pray. And once they attend a few, they start to see the value in it, hopefully. But when people are resistant to change, it's typically, it might be a heart issue that's in their heart. So, you know, you need to go investigate what's going on with that person and why they're not there, and just instill in them the importance of being in the huddle and being able to follow your leadership. So yeah. that's a big part of it. Maybe, you know, if they don't want to attend huddles, perhaps there's another team in the church that they would like to serve on that doesn't have huddles. You know, sometimes that guy that we're talking about not attending huddle, he's super valuable to you, but if he's going to undermine the culture you're trying to set up, it's not going to work out for you good long-term.
That is a good point. So I've had volunteers in the past that have been there for years,
mm-hmm.
but the vision that God has given me for our team that I'm responsible for,
right?
I'm going to do what God is calling me to do. And I've had people that have been there for years that will be the naysayer. Well, we haven't done that in the last, you know, the 20 years that I've served, we haven't. Well, this is what the Lord has called me to do. I would love for you to be on board with this. And I've had volunteers leave the ministry. Some of them, sometimes they come back.
Yeah.
It's interesting that happens. But they leave because they're not on board with your vision and your culture. Now, I'm not suggesting being a tyrant and it's my way or the highway. That's not what I'm suggesting. But absolutely. What I am saying is, when God's called you to a vision, and when God has called you to be held responsible for a culture, if people come in that are not, it's going to be more beneficial for you in the long run if those people go and maybe find a different place to serve and you build the culture that God's calling you to build. So you feel free to speak to that, but I think you bring up a good point there.
Yeah, and it's great to be able to see those folks come back in and just to see their heart change when it does happen, you know. And sometimes they move on and they go to other churches. You know, it's the Lord that moves the hearts of men.
Right.
And sometimes they're just waiting for an excuse. And it's not that they don't want to be a part of your huddle or something. That's just the excuse that they're using to move on. So, yeah.
Right. Good. Okay. How do you build excitement for huddles? We mentioned food as a bribe, but how do you, you know, how do you make sure that you're building excitement for that time together?
Yeah. So that's a great question. So there's the chicken biscuit and then there's the peanut M&M, right? So maybe perhaps some little extra snacks here and there, but really it's a congratulations time. It's a vision casting time. And it's a time that and a big part of vision casting is just sharing your passion. And so I believe that as a leader, when you're sharing your passion with the people who serve with you, it's showing that you value them and it's showing that you care about them. And then you're pastoring them with the prayer and with the prayer request, and you're helping to guide them through what's happening this week. So it should be a pretty exciting thing, but you have to be prepared. Sorry, you have to be prepared for the huddle yourself. It can't be something that you dread and something, just another thing that you're checking off the box. Mm-hmm. So I believe that's a big part of it, to be prepared for it, have some excitement for it yourself. And that kind of feeds into the excitement.
So as we leave each other, tell me how pastoring your people, I'm a big proponent of pastoring first, mm-hmm. that the secret sauce of building a volunteer culture is to pastor and care for our people first. Yes. Would you agree with that stance? And how have you done that in your ministry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The best way to pastor, I'm sorry, the best way to build a volunteer base is to pastor the folks that are volunteering with you. And I say that because I think people, when they volunteer with you, they're not necessarily interested in the button press or the recording the video. They want to be a part of a team that is bigger than themselves and is on a mission that is larger than something they could do apart from the team. And so when you're able to pour into people and show them that you care for them, show them that you love them, and you're able to help them grow. And when I'll just give you a quick example. I had a volunteer who he came to the church and he served with me for about a year and a half. And then he got into some trouble, let's say, and he had a court date come up. And so it was something that he had done years ago and he was looking at some fairly serious jail time. And it was a pretty big deal for him and his family. And so I was able to go and testify at his court hearing, and he ended up serving some time. It was not as much as he could have, but a great guy and a great family and just somebody that I would nominate. It's going to sound weird, but I would nominate as an elder or a deacon in the church. And so you're able to minister to that type of person and have them in your corner and on your team. And guess what they do? When you do that kind of thing, they tell their friends. And so he brought lots of people onto the team, and his son is now serving on the team. And it's just incredible how much buy-in you get from your volunteers when you lead them well, when you pastor them well.
Yeah. Good. Well, man, thank you for this insight. I'm really, really passionate about volunteer culture and pastoring our people. Well, because we can know the technical aspects, but if it's not about life change, then it doesn't matter. It's all about life change. And sometimes that life change starts with the people that are closest to us, and that's our volunteers. So I think a lot of times we're like, we are, you know, preparing the worship experience. We're preparing the journey for these other people over here whose lives are going to be changed. No, all of us. It's about life changing all of us. And so as leaders, if we can pour into our volunteers and pastor them well to see their mm-hmm. lives change. And a piece of that culture is the huddle. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, man. Really appreciate your time today.
Yes. Thank you, Carl. Thanks for having me.
The show notes for this episode are available now at MakingSundayHappen.com.
Hey guys, at SALT 19 last year, I had the opportunity to chat with Christine Crusher, who's written a great book on volunteers called Stop Recruiting, Start Retaining. And last year, I had the opportunity to chat with her for a few minutes about volunteer huddles and the importance of how to structure them and what to include in volunteer huddles. And I thought it would go perfect with what you just heard from Wayne. So check out my clip, my interview with Christine Crusher. Check this out. Hey guys, I'm here with my friend Christine Crusher. Did I get it right?
You did.
Awesome. All right, you taught today on volunteers mm-hmm. and retaining volunteers. So give me a quick snapshot of your workshop.
Yeah, we had a great time. It was Dr. Andrew Johnston and myself. We did a three-hour. Yes, I'm telling you, I've never met him until this week. And
he's
we
awesome.
Had a blast together. It was great. Yeah. We talked about leading volunteers. Leadership development, volunteer strategies.
Yeah.
So it's really
awesome. Yeah. So, okay. So I'm in a church. I lead a volunteer team. Give me one practical thing I can take this week and start implementing with my volunteers.
Okay. I think one of the most impactful things that we have been doing and been talking to ministry leaders about for the last couple of years is the importance of pre-service huddles. Meeting with your
Great.
Volunteer teams 30 minutes before. I think that it has everything to do with the way that you do them, though, because sometimes they can feel more like a funeral than than kind of a pregame huddle. And so it's really important that they're fun, inspirational. It's an opportunity for volunteers to connect with one another, and just an opportunity to get everybody rallied up and ready for the day.
So give me two or three things that I'm going to do in that huddle.
Okay.
What do I need to cover?
Yeah, that's awesome. So I think any last minute information, right? So it needs to be informational, hopefully the least amount of last minute changes,
yes.
right? But it needs to be an opportunity. So we do icebreakers, team building activities. We use those as an opportunity to really reinforce a value that we have that we want to see lived out.
Good.
We share inspirational stories, and then we pray for the day. So
Good.
That was more than two. But
fantastic. All right. How long should that meeting be?
7 to 10 minutes. High energy, focused opportunity. And
Good.
Keep it fun. Keep it exciting.
Good. Okay. So you wrote a book, Retaining.
Stop Retaining. Start Retaining.
Okay,
I'm so, sorry. Stop Recruiting. Start Retaining.
Okay. Let's get that one right.
Okay. Yeah. That's important.
All right. So give me a quick overview of the book. So if I'm going to read it, what am I going to find in
yeah.
there? Why do I need to get it?
You're
going to
find the four strategies on how to create an irresistible volunteer culture. I think that's important, right? Boils down to four things. We need to celebrate a volunteer's significance. We need to provide first-class support. We need to empower their passions. And we need to make sure that we fuel meaningful connections.
Good. All right, last question for mm-hmm. you. Tell me the importance of talking to this community at SALT.
Oh, man, because we can't do what we do without volunteers, right? And it shouldn't just stop at volunteers, but we should be empowering our volunteers to lead in really powerful ways so that they can be a part of God's big story.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for listening or watching this week. Next week on the show, I'll welcome singer-songwriter, musician, worship leader, Jeremy Camp to the show. The new movie, I Still Believe, is coming to theaters in just a few weeks and is the story of Jeremy's early life and ministry and a tragic personal loss that his family experienced almost 20 years ago now, and the movie chronicles that story. I talked with Jeremy about the movie. We talked about songwriting and leading worship and more. Jeremy has led worship experiences through his concerts for years to thousands and thousands of people. So I want you to hear his perspective and hopefully pick up some things along the way for you to apply as you make Sunday happen in your church. Show notes for this episode of the show are at MakingSundayHappen.com. This is episode number 235, so feel free to click on that episode for the show notes for this week. And be sure to leave us a rating and review of the show in iTunes or Google Play or wherever you consume podcasts. It really does help us with the ranking of the show and gets this content out to more people. So take a few minutes and do that if you would. It would really help us out. Well, thank you guys so much for listening and watching. It's our heart to come alongside you and help you with media content and training to help you transform the worship experiences at your church. So we count it a joy to serve you, and we're right alongside you on this journey. So it's our heart to serve you. So thank you so much for listening and watching. We hope and pray that some of the content in the podcast each week will help you as you make Sunday happen at your church. Well, go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.